Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, I got a really big show for you today. We've got some power-packed people on. Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire. He's an author, too. Less Than Torrid Tales. He's host Michigan's Big Show, which he broadcasts from just about anywhere on the planet. Oliver Aliquiano, Island Pacific Golf Academy. After school golf enrichment programs. You wouldn't believe what you can teach children in a golf environment. Just your basic five things. And I won't go through all five, but, you know, how about being considerate of others? Just one of them. Pate Clarson, Sports Information Director for Troon Hawaii and Ka'anapali Golf Courses. He's with us in the clubhouse. Gary Williams, analyst, commentator, NBC Golf Channel. He's with us as well. But first, I got to tell you, we've got a mostly sunny day ahead of us. Scattered showers, windward and Mauka. Isolated showers on the leeward side. High 83 to 88. And the winds out of the east, about 15 miles per hour. What is the temperature going to be? High of 88 right now. It's 77 degrees, at least it was when I was coming to work. Wonderful morning, beautiful sky. And tomorrow, if you're going to play a round of golf, it's going to be cloudy. On Kauai, a lot of rain. Isolated thunderstorms possible. Occasional showers at night. On Oahu and Maui, scattered showers. High 86, low 74. Yay for that low. Easterlies, about 15 miles per hour. And if you're playing a round of golf today, yes, you must get out and get on the course. Makalei has a 9-10 and a 10-26. And the bird watchers are on the golf course. Yeah, I'm always watching my ball. I can't do two things at once. Poipu Bay, 8:50, 9:30, 11 o'clock. Kauai Lagoons has an 8:48 and a 10 o'clock. And let's see. It is the Breeze Boys. They're on the golf course today. Oahu, there's a Pearl Kalauau, an 8:40, a 9:50, a 10:10. Hawaii Kai has an 8:30, a 9:18, and a 10:50. And Turtle Bay has an 8:32, 9:26, 10:48. And the women at work. That's what they say. Honey, I'm going to work. She's really going to the golf course. And he knows it. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 836, 920, 1118. The Busy Bees are on the golf course. Silver Foxes are cruising. They're at Eva Beach Golf Course, 840, 930, 1020. Bayview has a 908, a 1020, and a 1210. And let's see. Oh, Wailea Gold. It's wide open. Well, maybe not. There's a lot of tee times available. Give them a call, okay? Between 8:40 and 10 o'clock. And Na'au'ana, they're on the golf course. At Emerald, there is one tee time, a 1:50. And at the blue course, this is also part of Wailea, on the blue course, there's an 8:30 and a 10 o'clock. And Maui Nui has an 8:48, a 9:28, a 10:16, and the iron workers are on the golf course. They're wrapping up work on their irons. Okay, now we're going to go into Gary Williams. And I've got to tell you, he's host of Five Clubs Golf on YouTube, podcast. And I first got to know Gary Williams by watching his Morning Drive show on Golf Channel, the first morning golf talk show on television, always featuring fabulous guests. And today, Gary Williams' show is called Five Clubs Golf. Not much has changed. He's always featuring fabulous guests. Gary hit his first golf shot on the range in Boone, North Carolina. He was 6 years old. He learned the game, fell in love with every aspect of it as a junior at Ridgewood Country Club, seeing Tom Weisskopf shoot 63 in the opening round, 1980 U.S. Open. And that cemented golf in his mind as the most interesting pursuit at the very highest level. So after forging a career in the media covering all sports, Gary became one of the original hosts Morning Drive on Golf Channel, where he remained for the entire 10-year run of that program. Welcome into the clubhouse, Gary Williams.
Danielle, every time you mention the day that I struck my first golf shot, I honestly I don't hear that much other than when you mention it, and I can remember that. I can remember the day. I can remember the weather. I remember the grips on my dad's clubs because I didn't have my own. They were leather grips. They were McGregor irons. It's a great memory.
Yes. Weren't those grips a little big for you?
Of course. Of course. But all I needed to do was hit one shot kind of close to the center of the face. And I'm like, okay, I like this.
Yes. Something about the one perfect shot. And then you're always chasing it.
Yes.
I'll get it back. I'll get it back. Well, you know, whatever. All it is having a good time on the golf course. And that's what's the most important thing. And I think I was going through some of the bits from your show that, just shows a highlighted portion, Women on the Golf Course. And Gary Williams says it's a great way for women to connect and get involved in the game of golf. Isn't that the truth? Boy.
Well, it's, Danielle, women are the fastest growing demographic in the game. The game is now, the balance of who is playing golf has tipped in a direction that I never thought we would see in our lifetime, and that is younger people, in terms of how many young people are playing, actually is greater than people who are a little bit older. And women, I have two daughters, and my younger daughter, who is now 23, started taking lessons at a young age. She was a competitive cheerleader. And the only thing I told her I wanted them to do whatever they wanted to do was just don't turn your back on it, because you never know when golf is going to benefit you. And to the point you just made, it's about being with people. And so she now lives in Las Vegas and plays golf with friends. She played golf, with friends through college on weekends. And you mentioned the spotlight. We spotlight different organizations who are trying to foster interest and grow the game of golf in all various ways. And these organizations and we did an event a couple of years ago around the U.S. Women's Open when it was at Pine Needles. And we had women from all different segments of the golf industry come together who did not know each other previously. We rented a house. We put them in this house. We had cameras, and they became friends. And they're now, they do content together, even though they still have their own entities. And one of them was a college golfer at the time, Emma Carpenter. She's now got her own broadcast career covering not only golf, but also other sports as well. So it's neat. It's neat to see it.
Yeah, it is. And out of the, eight or six groups of people that have given themselves names on the golf course, right, here in Hawaii, bird watchers and women at work, they're both female groups, so women are definitely enjoying getting out together, getting away from the house, the kids, the work, the stuff that's constantly in your brain, and you're going to get to it eventually. You're on the golf course, all of that goes away.
Totally. Our five clubs, when it was born 4 years ago, and we never thought that it was, I never said to my business partners, hey, I promise Golf Channel is going to call one day and they're going to want to make us the morning show. And they did.
Yay.
That wasn't the plan. It wasn't a goal. But they have. But when we started Five Clubs, the motto is it's the time, not the score. We're competitive. You want to play well, but we are not competing for a living. It's about the fellowship. It's about the time. And that's what it is.
Yes.
And all these groups that get together, and I have my own that I do trips with, buddies who have been friends of mine since college. We're not enjoying the Vanderbilt Texas game right now because our Commodores are getting beaten soundly right now.
Sorry.
But these connections and these relationships are deepened because we make plans to get together a couple times a year, and we're all over the country and we use golf.
Yeah, and a lot of people can say, yeah, golf, I can get some exercise. I can, it's a really good way to get away from everything and just focus on just the ball and the people around you and the conversation and having a good time. I want to transition to a couple of conversations you had. A Five Clubs golf conversation. The spotlight was with Gary Williams, Brendan DeYoung. Am I pronouncing his name right?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good. And Johnson Wagner. And you were talking about Jordan Spieth. Now, here's a young man who's been playing golf for probably as long as you have, right? He probably started when he was really a kid. And then there's the wrist injury. How's he? I mean, he used to be so hot, right?
Yep.
Not so much now, but how's he coming along?
I think, you know, Johnson made the point that he thought, all things considered, coming off of, they're probably, you know, I think back, hands, and wrist when it comes to the body. And look, the body at that level, if you get into a simulator and they've got it set up with the golf swing of a tour player, what you noticed is, okay, this is really different from my own. And primarily it's because of their range of motion. And so they're using their whole body. But the wrist is such a huge part of the attrition and you know, the things that these guys and women have to do to be as good as they can be. I thought that Jordan had a pretty good year. I thought it was an encouragement to be as good as they can be. I thought that Jordan had a pretty good year. I thought it was an encouraging year. I didn't expect him to win a golf tournament. He did contend realistically one time. Four top tens, you know, in the mid-50s in the FedEx Cup standings over the course of this season. That's not what he expects of himself. He expects more. But I think at 32 years of age, he'll be 33 next July. He's got three little children. I've always felt that Jordan was an adult. I never felt like he had a clumsy phase where it's like, how much am I going to get distracted by social media and the celebrity that is associated with how good I am at this? He never did. So I think that he has compartmentalized the things that are the most important things, which are his wife, Annie, and their three little children. But he's a hyper-competitive person. He was an athlete before he was a golfer. He was a very good little junior baseball player. He's naturally left-handed. I still think there's winning in his future, and I will always think until he's at least 40 that he can contend at the Masters.
Excellent.
He can show up there in a catatonic state and figure out a way to finish in the top 15. He's got an amazing record there. So I still think that there are highlights for Jordan Spieth ahead.
That is wonderful. One of the things that I think it was Brendan, but I'm not sure, he said he's still got some nice pop. What does that actually mean?
Just that he is, you know, when he turned pro in 2013 at 19, you know, he has good size, but he was not somebody who was blessed or had built a golf swing with, you know, immense speed in it. But he has made a concerted effort to gain distance without compromising other things. And so his driving distance is very representative. I mean, and that's what he meant. Like, he's got pop in the bat. Like,
okay.
He can still move it out there. He can take advantage of par fives. And so it's not like he was somebody, people, I think, because he made every 25-footer he looked at for what felt like, you know, a 10-year period when it was like 3 years. He was absolutely one of the best iron players in the world. And he can still, and again, he's gained distance since he turned professional when he was a teenager and he won at the John Deere for the first time. So it's not like he has depreciating skills or traits. It's not that. He just needs to be healthy.
Yes. But the wrist, that takes a while, doesn't it? It's such a delicate part of us.
It's something that has ruined and ended careers. Aaron Oberholzer was, Aaron was a great player, and he actually won where I live in Charlotte at the Wells Fargo, what is now the Truist Championship, and he was going to win more, and then he started having wrist issues. He had the exact same surgery that Jordan had, and it eventually ended his career because he just couldn't do what is required. And it's not just competitive golf; it's you know, all of the shock that comes with the impact of every shot in practice. And those are hundreds and hundreds over the course of a week in preparation. So I hope that there's stability in his wrist, but that's the question mark. Can he do the things that are required to prepare to play competitive golf. If he can do that, then he can be competitive.
Awesome. Got it. Right. If he can practice for hours on end for days until the And that really is the challenge, because the body really takes it. And it's, you know, the impact, every time the impact, bam, bam, goes right to you. You were also talking about Rory McIlroy. And I was I was fascinated by he does play on emotion. That drives him. I wasn't quite. Tell us more.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I thought Rory, and I think this is true of a lot of people when they're young, they're more excitable. And then, one, they get used to what they're doing, and they also get older, and they don't emote as much. Even Tiger, who was incredibly demonstrative when he was young, and we got less fist pumps and less, you know, uppercuts when he would make, you know, big putts. He was more sedate, and I think that Rory has become that. But I actually asked him in the week leading into the PGA Championship at Oak Hill, because I thought Rory, when he was young, particularly when he won the first couple of majors that he won, specifically at Valhalla in 2014, when he won those back-to-back, he won the Open at Hoylake, and then he won the PGA. And if you remember, and I know you do, that last hole, it was dark. And Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson were playing the 18th hole, and he's like, I don't care. I'm going to hit into you. I'm finishing tonight. And that was, I thought that that was an exhibition of being a bully in a good way. Like, no. I'm not going to be deprived of what I want. And I asked him, can you still be a bully? And he said, it takes a lot of energy. And he said, I pick my spots. Wow. And if you notice, he picks his spots. He did it at the Ryder Cup. A lot of that was a reflex to a lot of the things that he was hearing, which were deplorable things being hurled at him and his wife and his parents and Lord knows everybody else on the European team. But I think that there are times that he can harness that. He just has to do it in a more condensed, kind of efficient way. And he, too, you know, look, he's going to be 36 years of age in May. And so, no, he's going to do it less. But I also think it's a component of him that is essential for him to be the essence of who he is. And it's just the other part of this, Danielle, as it pertains to him going forward is, you know, I wanted to believe, and I still believe, that him winning any major, specifically the Masters, which gave him the Grand Slam, will unburden him from something that took a long time, and in particular, any major for a decade. But he has to find the will. He has to find, hey, I've done everything I wanted to do. Like, he even said out loud, the only thing that I really haven't done that I still want to do is win a medal in the Olympics. And that's a couple years away in Los Angeles. Not a goal that he had set. Golf in the Olympics didn't exist when he turned pro. I'm curious to see how much he can dig in and have that redlining, white-hot feeling about wanting to beat everybody. Because if you don't, you will not beat the one guy who possesses that in Scottie Scheffler. You just won't.
Scottie Scheffler. See, you talk about riding under, somehow he manages to be the number one golfer in the world, and at the same time, he kind of doesn't have a high profile.
You know, exactly the way he wants it, Danielle. He was never inclined when he was becoming the best junior player. He won a zillion golf tournaments before he went to the University of Texas. He wasn't curious about social media. He's not a video game guy. He didn't pursue this for what it would get him beyond the accomplishment of winning golf tournaments. And I don't think most players do, but when that stuff is hurled at you, it's like, wow, I didn't realize that I was going to be on the Tonight Show. Now, he's done a little bit of that, but I find him to be one of the most interesting athletes, not golfers, athletes competing globally right now, because he's not interested in any of that, and I think he is as focused as any athlete in the world, because he doesn't allow himself or others to reflect on what's already been done or project what has still not been done. He is where his feet are, And that's an extraordinarily hard thing to achieve with all the distraction exists in our world today with devices and 10 zillion channels to consume stuff, many of which devoted maybe to what he's doing. He doesn't care. He's not curious. He's not enthralled. It's about beating people. That's it. That's why I think we're in his window, and his window is wide open. And that's why I think it's realistic to think about him getting to places, put Jack and Tiger in their departments because of how much they won. But the thing that I share with people after he won his fourth major was, remember something. Other than Jack and Tiger, the last player to get the seven majors where the meter stopped there was Arnold Palmer in 1964. The last to get to eight was Tom Watson when he won his final major in 1983. And the last to get to nine was Gary Player when he won the Masters in 1978. We start going, oh, he's going to win seven, he's going to win eight. Wait a second. No, they're not. It dries up. And the window is short, too. Like, if you look historically, again, other than Jack and Tiger, and even Gary Player won his first in 59 and his last in 1978, most are 5 to 7 year windows. Hogan won his first in 46, his last in 53. Arnold, first in 56, last in 60, or 58, last in 1964. And I can go on through all of these guys. It's just very hard, and I think it's harder now because of these other things. Competitiveness, the fields are deeper, and two, you know, these guys would pick up the newspaper the next day if they were curious to read about themselves. Now they're being written about and talked about as they're playing. So distraction is everywhere, but I think Scotty is possessive of something that is very rare, unwavering and undistracted and supreme focus.
Yeah, and there's a really old phrase, he's got his feet on the ground. You know,
absolutely.
That's we used to say, yeah, that person, he's really got his feet on the ground. It means he's solid. He doesn't get, like you said, doesn't get distracted. He's got his mission in mind. That's all that's important to him. And that's really, I want to go to the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
On what do you think the PGA of America needs to do about fan participation?
Yeah, I think that as opposed to, and look, I don't think that they were stoking some inferno in advance of Bethpage, but they did build it knowing where it was going and use words that, again, I think now in hindsight, it's being, you know, they're getting a lot of criticism like, well, you asked specifically for chaos. What else did you expect?
Mm-hmm.
One, the environment alone, when it returns to the United States in 4 years, is not Farmingdale, New York. It's Chaska, Minnesota.
Oh.
Those people are middle America for the most part, even though this is an international sporting event in terms of the people who go to watch it. I think that the environment alone is going to benefit them. And then the other part is, making a point well into what is the longest run-up of any competition in the game of golf every 2 years, let's make this great. Let's be supportive. And, yeah, look, I have no problem with cheering misses, but hurling expletive-laced, just rancid tirades at players, come on. We're all better than that.
Yeah.
I don't care what event you're at, and I heard a lot of it. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
So that is one part, Danielle, that they can do. And the other part more on where's the competitive balance? Because Europe has dominated this thing now for three decades, and they've won on the road in four straight decades, and the United States has not won on the road in what will be now 34 years going to Adair Manor. Is how can you try to change something that's very hard to change, and that is Europe playing for something that is deeply embedded in them, and that is really the welfare of the tour they're all a product of, because it's owned by the European Tour, DP World Tour, on their side. So they have this very tangible intangible that they have deep-seated in them, whereas the PGA of America, they're fine people, but these guys don't know them. They don't know them well. They look at them, and they go, okay, this is a cash cow, and here we are, and you know, I know the PGA Tour owns 20% of it, but they can't see right in front of them to go, okay, well, that's good for us. That's a challenging thing. And here's the last thing, the most important thing. Europe's damn good.
Yeah.
Like if you look at their depth, they have more depth than they've ever had. I'm not going to argue that the six best players now are as good as the big six that they had when they had guys like Faldo and Lyle and Woozy and Seve and Olafable and Monty. And you know, but nonetheless, 1 through 12, never been better.
Right on. Truly. And okay, I got to ask you, you know, a couple of questions. We're going to need a little bit short answers because our time, you know, talking with you, we could go on forever. The Ryder Cup, and I'm going to go back to Keegan Bradley. Should he have been a player, or as you talked about, on five clubs? Or should he have just been the captain and none of this talk about being a player? Or should he have been the captain at all?
Well, I thought it was, look, this was not something they'd thought about for a long, long time. So when I used the word whimsical, it was kind of a whim to make him the captain. And I thought he did an admirable job in many, many ways. I there are things that I questioned during, you know, the decision-making during the week. I thought he should have been one or the other. He made the choice to be the captain. I thought it was that was the right choice, or if he was just a player, that would have been a right choice because he
Got
was
it.
Certainly one of the 12 best.
Yes.
The last thing I will say about him is a lot of people are saying give him another chance. That's fine. 6 years from now, let him try to make a team. Let him, at 39, devote himself, and he was awfully close, and again, could have been on the team this time. Let him give himself one more concerted effort, and maybe two, who knows? Maybe he could be good enough in 4 years. But realistically, to go to Ireland and focus on being a player, and if you want to revisit Keegan at Hazeltine or beyond that, go right ahead, no problem.
All right, and who do you think should be the next captain?
Well, I think it should be Tiger. It makes all the sense in the world for a lot of reasons, and a lot of people think that there is, you know, he kind of, you know, he dips his toe in this. He doesn't dip his toe in anything. If he makes a choice to do something, he's maniacal about it, and a lot of that proved to be one of the great, if not greatest, careers in totality we've already seen. He was ambivalent about team golf when he turned pro. Now, as he showed at the President's Cup, and I know it's not the Ryder Cup, but he's been a Ryder Cup vice captain. If he makes the choice to do it, he will be all in. He will be. He should be the captain. He's after 50. He can't compete anymore. I'm pretty certain of that. He should be the guy. And then beyond that, I would look at one of the vice captains, and I would start with Brant Snedeker, who I think has the makeup to do a very, very detailed, and also a guy who has a real fire. I would look to him if Tiger passes.
Okay. Tiger Woods, you don't think he'll be playing in the Champions Tour?
I hope so, Danielle. Oh, but, you know, these back surgeries, and, you know, we're not even going to touch on the knee surgeries and all the other stuff that he, in the lower leg and the ankle, and the fact that he pretty much doesn't even have a calf muscle on his lower leg. I want to believe it, the idea of him, Danielle, playing in the U.S. Senior Open at Jack Nicklaus's childhood home at Scioto in Upper Arlington, Ohio. I would love that.
Yeah.
Going for his 10th USGA championship to move past Bobby Jones, who won a USGA championship at Scioto. I would love that. I just don't know if he's going to be healthy enough.
Yeah, you know, I got goosebumps, or chicken skin, we call it, in Hawaii. You know, the idea of Tiger Woods competing and doing all the things you said, it was like, it's what we wish for is to see Tiger in action at his peak. We're not going to see that. But just to see him compete would be absolutely spectacular. And then you say he doesn't have a muscle in his, you know, it's like, oh my God, you know, the things that he's had to do.
Like half the stuff that he's been through.
Yes.
I mean, we it's like, what was the latest thing? And you go, gosh, you know, I hope his back's going to be okay. You do remember that he wears a sleeve on his lower leg because of that horrific car accident.
Yeah.
That he almost lost his lower, you know, the lower part of his leg. I mean, that he can't, getting around is challenging. But him and Red Flags, which are the flags used for USGA championships, have always gotten along. The idea of him and those, you know, customary USGA red flags at their championships, give it to me. I just hope he's healthy enough.
Yeah, me too. And so much fun. I've got pages here. Fall schedule. What are we going to do with it? I loved what you were talking about. It's five clubs, golf, spotlight. You can see short segments of the conversation. You can go and watch Five Clubs Golf on YouTube, a podcast. Check it out. Gary Williams, thank you so much for being on the show. You're fabulous.
Danielle, it's always my pleasure. If I don't speak to you before Thanksgiving, have a wonderful holiday.
And you too. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha.
We're coming back right after this. Pate Clarkson's with us, Sports Information Director, Troon, Hawaii, Ka'anapali Golf Courses. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Hey, it's Aloha Power's week-long steel sale. It's time to retire those big box tools. You know, they've been, you know, getting a little bit, well, not quite the way they were. Steel is on sale. 25% off. Riding and walking mowers and chainsaws and whackers and trimmers and a whole lot more. We have service, parts, accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. You mow it, you blow it, you bag it, and you are done. And it can be done so quick. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile. It's next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Pate Clarkson, Sports Information Director, Troon, Hawaii, Pearl at Kalaoau, Ka'anapali Golf Courses. Pate, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. And anything trigger when you were listening about Tiger and all the different, I mean, did you forget some of the different operations he's gone through?
It's unbelievable. He's a bionic man at this point.
Yes.
And it's incredible that he continues to rebound after each one.
I know. And, you know, because everybody was looking forward to him on the senior, you know, and it's like, God, are we crazy? I know he wants to. You know, it's whether his body can pull it through. That's the problem. Yeah, so you have had some of the most fabulous, large tournaments in Hawaii, bringing together great golfers from around the country. Wow. Yeah, you must be impressed with the whole process.
It's been a wonderful opportunity for Troons clubs throughout the state to host various events, ranging from a recent AJGA at Pearl to the University of Hawaii women's event at the Ocean Course in Hokkawala, as Tom Freestone had talked about on your program last week, and most recently the University of Hawaii men's at Kaanapali Golf Courses on Maui. It's been a wonderful time of junior golf throughout the state, and we're blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we didn't even go into the Kaanapali Classic at the Royal Kaanapali with Hawaii's Anson Cabello shooting a 2-under par 69 to finish tied for 14th at the Kaanapali Classic at the Royal Kaanapali. You know, it's wonderful how many kids are coming here. But we've got the 2025 Rainbow Wahine Invitational at the Ocean Course at Hokuala, and it's for the first time in 25 years that the University of Hawaii Women's Golf Team Fall Tournament will be on Kauai. How exciting is that? Or it was.
It was
October.
It was wonderful.
Yes.
You know, to bring the ladies back to Kauai, it had been a long time coming. Head coach Julie Brooks really has that program turned around and ascending year after year. You know, they were able to host a wonderful field of teams from all across the country, and we were very blessed to be a part of that on one of the most incredible stretches of oceanfront holes in the world, right there in Kauai.
Yeah, and it has been played at Kaanapali Golf Club. This year it went over to the Ocean Course at Hokuala, and you've also hosted some other ones. Wasn't the 2024 Dr. Donis Thompson Invitational there too?
That is correct. And the University of Hawaii men's program also hosts an event amongst many other both junior and amateur events. And I think if you look at it holistically, the continued growth of both those junior and amateur events in the state is a positive indication of the local talent that's being groomed. I know that, you know, on behalf of Troons Properties and many other courses across the state, the objective is really to groom these wonderful young men and women to the collegiate ranks in order to help them get college scholarships and then go on to play professionally, whether that's the Korn Ferry Tour, the Epson Tour, the PGA Tour, or even over in Europe or Asia. So the fact that these events continue to pop up means there's demand because more children are playing in the state, and we're hopeful that they continue to play beyond high school and collegiately, and we're happy to be a part of that growth for them.
Yes. This year's Rainbow Wahine Invitational, 19 teams. Nine teams ranked in Scoreboard's top 100 national rankings. Baylor, Kansas, Missouri, Eastern Michigan, Sacramento State, Santa Clara, Boise State, Brigham Young, Long Beach State, they're all coming over here to Hawaii. And I got to ask you, this must be really good. And, I don't mean this in a dollars and cents, but it's really good for Hawaii to have this infusion of all these young people coming to the state, playing such great golf, and then going home with their experiences.
It is. In addition to the players of those 19 teams that you referenced, many of their parents are going to circle one or two events on the calendar that they're going to travel to see, and this is most certainly one of them. You have the coaching staff, you have a certain amount of fans, in particular, that live on the West Coast that'll make the trek over, and then any alumni that may be in the islands that will come over for it. So it's a great financial boon for the courses and the local communities that are putting heads in beds
Yes.
And food on the table. So we hope that this will continue in the years ahead.
Yes, it's really good for, you know, with the tourist, basic tourism being down a little bit, what we expected to have for income for the state isn't as high as we have had in the past. So I know a lot of folks don't think about these tournaments, but when you look at the numbers, and it's not just one child coming, and you know they're young adults coming, but it's probably with a little entourage of their own that wants to travel with them. That's, you know, a Nanea Invitational. Were you part of that?
We were not, but I think, you know, the differentiator of a lot of the events here in Hawaii as opposed to others across the country is many times these teams that play on the mainland will partake at a course that, you know, perhaps they have an alumni who sits on the board of directors and he had angled to have them host the event. But when the players and the coaches come to Hawaii, they will personally tell us that they feel the sense of aloha and welcoming by all of the staff and those of the community that they don't necessarily receive at other events. And because of that, amongst the beautiful scenery, the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity of playing on some of these championship courses in the Aloha State, and a lot of the other intangibles, Hawaii's events are continuously rated as the players' and coaches' favorites every year.
Well, I know that the Pearl at Kalaau Invitational is coming up November 5th through the 6th. And you've got a two-day format, 54 holes, five count four. I don't understand that.
Well, essentially, five players are going to compete each day. The team is going to take the four lowest scores. They'll discard the top, so they have a bit of an in-house mulligan, if you will. Uh-huh. And that allows for a little bit of flexibility, but there's still a lot of pressure because as you're playing, you don't know if your score will be counted or not. So you can't become complacent, and you got to ensure that you keep your head down and focus until the final putt is dropped each day to see if your score is going to be part of your overall team's contribution on the scoreboard.
Wow. And so we've got Hawaii, Air Force, Army, Augusta State, Baylor, Belmont, Butler, Cal Baptist, Eastern Kentucky, Eastern Michigan, Hawaii Pacific, Nevada, Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, Utah Tech, UT Martin, UC San Diego, West Virginia, Wichita State. Did I leave anybody out?
It's a mouthful, isn't it? It's a wonderful way for the University of Hawaii to conclude their fall schedule. They haven't played at Pearl in a while after last year's renovation. Head coach Scott Simpson had told us that he's really excited to get back, particularly after the success of the first ever AJGA event that was contested in the state of Hawaii, as Ed on your program had spoken about a while back. So, and the teams that you listed, it's a wonderful collection of teams across the Northeast, the Southeast, the Midwest, the Rockies, and the West Coast. So
yes,
it really shows what a well-balanced collection of teams that Coach Simpson has put together in order to compete and bring together many of the best players from across the country to Hawaii.
Wow. You know, it's is UH's lineup Jasmine Wong, Malene Krause, Emiko Sverduk, Cadence Kim, and Chloe Koo? I'm not sure
it is. Now there's some variance because head coach Brooks will many times require her team to qualify, you know, before their event. So that leads to some variation. And, you know, there's always a fine balance for any coach, whether it's football, basketball, golf, of whether you play the hot hand and who's good in the moment as opposed to a seasoned veteran or a steady Eddie. And as you know, there are different horses for different courses. And sometimes just because you have a hot hand doesn't necessarily mean that you play particularly well. You know, as an example, you brought up Tiger Woods at the beginning of the program. He never played at the Sony Open, as far as I can remember, because it just didn't fit his eye, whereas he played and won at the Plantation course at Kapalua because he thought he had a better chance of winning there. So there are a lot of factors that go into the respective starting lineups that Coach Brooks and Coach Simpson have to consider each week when they play.
Wow. It's now, can spectators, are they invited to follow and go on the course? Of course, not inside the ropes, but outside?
They are. Attendance is free for walking spectators. 36 holes on Wednesday, 18 on Sunday. There is parking available on site, and there will also be some overflow if the lot becomes full. And we would love to have anyone and everyone out there, particularly if you are a parent and you have children who are playing or interested in playing, there's nothing like seeing competition in person. Many times that can spark different swing thoughts, different ideas, perhaps create new motivation or ways of looking at things that perhaps they hadn't before. So we would love to have all fans out, and in particular, parents with children.
Right on. Yeah, that would be great. It's like Gary Williams said, he hit his first shot at six, and he was, you know, taken. Taken away. So did you say Wednesday? What days are they playing?
Yep, they're going to play 36 holes on Wednesday and 18 on Thursday.
36. Wow, it's a good thing they get the day off.
No. That's right. Well, these young bucks will be, they have more energy than they know what to do with.
Right, so exactly.
We feel confident they'll be A-okay.
Yeah, this is Wednesday and Thursday, November 5th and 6th, at 54 holes. All together, but over 2 days. 7:30 is when they'll start, and that's at Pearl at Kalaau'au in Aiea. Now, you know, if you're just joining us, Pearl Country Club is no longer Pearl Country Club. It's Pearl at Kalaau'au. They closed for about a year and did a whole lot to bring Pearl to what it is, a Pearl. Pearl at Kalaau'au. And you can see live scoring if you can't be on it. Scoreboard.clipped with no E .com. And that's almost a 7,000-yard golf course. That's, 6,955. That'll bring you home.
It really will. It offers some stunning views of Pearl Harbor. When the club went through the renovation, you know, many times the general players week in and week out don't see all of the infrastructure underneath the golf course. As an example, when Michael Jordan was building his golf course, the golf course architect had invited MJ to come out every week, and he said, I want you to understand that so much of what you're paying me for is subsurface that you'll never see. Well, in the same vein, a lot of Pearl's updates were due to irrigation and drainage and the regrassing to really make it a more consistent playing surface for those that visit Oahu. So they feel very good about the renovation that took just over a year, both to the 18-hole golf course, the brand new short course, the renovated practice facilities that in particular are catered to juniors on the island that can serve as a training ground in order to help them receive collegiate scholarships, and even the clubhouse that's now better suited to host large-scale events like this when you have almost 20 teams competing at one time.
Fabulous. And a bunch of parents or aunties and uncles following along. Pate Clarkson, Sports Information Director, Troon, Hawaii, Pearl at Kalaau'au, and the Ka'anapali Golf Courses. Is there anything that you wanted to mention that I didn't give you a chance to?
Well, you know, just wrapping up at the Ka'anapali Classic on Maui, which had 19 teams as well. The University of Hawaii's Anson Cabela had finished top 14, as you had alluded to. Hawaii's top player, Josh, regrettably, is out this season. Oh. He's going to have to redshirt with a back injury.
Oh.
But upon his return, Coach Simpson and company feel very good about the trajectory of the program next year. So we continue to follow along closely with them and support them as best we can as they play not only in the Aloha State, but in events across the mainland. And we encourage anybody that may be near a collegiate event to go out and attend if you can, because there's something special about watching the sparkle in these eyes with these junior players have success with their teammates. It's really fun to watch.
And this is the one where Oklahoma won?
Absolutely. They won their fourth in a row and sixth overall.
Wow.
On the Poly Classic. They are a really talented team, as the results speak for themselves. They broke the tournament scoring record by 11 strokes. So not even close. They knocked it out of the park.
Fantastic.
And, it was wonderful to watch.
Wonderful. Pate, thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Danielle, for all you do for golf in Hawaii. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. Oliver Olaquiano, President and CEO, Island Pacific Academy, U.S. Kids Certified Top 50 U.S. Kids Golf Instructor, Coach, Kamehameha School's golf team, the Kapalama Campus, will be with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the other side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Oliver Olaquiano, President and CEO, Island Pacific Golf Academy, U.S. Kids Certified Top 50 U.S. Kids Golf Instructor, and the coach for Kamehameha School's golf team. Oliver Olaquiano was the 2024-2025 Golf Digest Top Teacher in the state and the 2024 PGA Player Development Award winner and the Top 50 U.S. Kids Masters Kids Coach and the 2024 PGA Junior League Game Changer Award winner. And now he's Top Teacher in the state for 2025-2026, according to Golf Digest. And he said, I also want to congratulate my peers for making the list, all of whom are special instructors, all dedicated to growing the game. Welcome into the clubhouse, Oliver Olaquiano.
Danielle, good morning, and thank you again for having me on the show.
Absolutely. I mean, that is so cool of you to do that shout out to all of your the special instructors dedicated to growing the game. Do you guys ever get together, like a conference or a convention?
Yeah, we do several times a year. We have coaching summits or teaching summits. The last one, I think, was held at Hualalai on the Big Island at the Hale over at the Four Seasons Golf Course, or Hualalai Golf Course. And it's great because, I mean, we've got a lot of talent, a lot of experience. And it's nice to share the information amongst your peers. And that list really is a list of instructors that are the top in the state are nominated by your peers. So, I mean, to be on that is really special to me. But I also want to recognize the ones that are on there because they're my they're kind of my inspiration. You know, when I'm growing up, or as I was going up through the ranks, I'm watching Eddie Lee teach. I'm watching Ben Hongo. You know, all these guys are just great. Claude was my mentor, giving me lots of advice. And, you know, I'm like, gosh, I want to be like them someday. When I was learning how to teach golf and be that special.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, I'm there amongst them, it's like, it's nice and rewarding to see that, hey, they're just like me. You know, we're all just trying to learn how to make this game better, how to make it easier for people to learn and watch the results and enjoy it.
Absolutely. When you talk about building a culture of instructors focused on staying relevant, what do you mean?
Yeah, so, you know, I have lots of instructors. I have 9 instructors on my team. And all of them are really good. You know, some of them are like award-winning recipients, long drive champions. They're just good guys, and I want to make sure that they stay up on the technology, because we do have it. We do have it at our academy, and we make it available to our students, you know, if they need it. So we have a TrackMan, so they can use that to get club data and ball data. We're now working with a company called Greenside AI that allows us to develop 3D models of their swing and show them where some of the faults are at and what some of the fixes would be, utilizing AI technology. So you just want to be up and relevant with technology. That's all I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's important. I think it's important for any instructor, you know, to utilize the most recent technology. But there are guys that just don't use it, and that's fine too. But I think it's important, especially nowadays, for some of our students that are data driven, are keen on looking at, oh, what is my club face doing, or you know, why is this happening? You know, what do I have to do with my body to make that happen better? Right. And so utilizing the technology that we can't see, that the AI can see, helps us become better instructors.
When you say AI can see, but we can't, it's quicker than the eye of the human.
Yeah, sometimes it's quicker than the eye of the human. But you're looking at so many things when you're instructing, right? You're looking at hip turn. You're looking at, sway, you're looking at shoulder tilt. You can't be looking at everything at once, but AI can. Mm-hmm. They can see all that and put it in a picture for you to be able to see. And if you ever try the technology, you'll see that it as you move, it tells you, at position 1 or position 2, you know, your shoulders are too flat, or your knees, one knee is too bent too much, right? Or your hips aren't bent enough. Or your hips aren't turning enough. So you can see that all in one video shot, you know, versus, you know, for an instructor might take maybe 10 shots to see all that. AI can capture that in one shot.
Yeah, I understand completely now. And that makes a whole lot of sense. I wonder, at what age, is there an age that you decide to show one of your students what's going on with their body?
Oh. Oh, at any age. I mean, I've used it on a 4-year-old, and I was able to help. Yeah, I used it on a 4-year-old, one of my students, and we were able to fix kind of like, I call it the triangle, you know, triangle, the relationship between the shaft and the arms, and his fix his takeaway, and he was able to strike the ball a lot better.
Wow.
And you can see that in person, but AI helps you catch a lot of the other things. Aside from that, he wasn't bending enough, and so AI caught that. So between the two fixes, we were able to improve his ball striking almost immediately.
Wow! Now, was he fascinated seeing himself in AI's eyes?
The 4-year-old didn't care, but the parents were impressed. So.
I would have thought
the four-year-old was excited to hit the ball. the parents were impressed. They're like, wow, he actually hit it further. He hit it straight.
I didn't know whether you show the child the image so they can see what you want them to change.
I do, because I want them to see what they're doing.
Yes.
And it's easier. Some kids are visual. They can see it.
Yeah.
And they like it because they're like, hey, how did you do that? He made me look like a cartoon. You know, it's like it looks like a stick figure. And like, yeah. And yeah, the kids get a kick out of it. But I do show them from time to time about what needs to be done. And then I physically stand there and I show them what my body needs to look like. And then have them copy me. And then I have them swing.
Wow, it's cool.
And then hopefully the correction's made.
How many students do you have? Approximately.
Approximately about 150, 160 students.
So obviously you're not doing this all alone.
No, I mean, if you're talking about the whole academy, we've got probably close to 300 students.
Wow, okay, 300 students. So I just was thinking, I was looking at your instructors. You have some really cool instructors that work with you. Before we go to their names, tell us what TPI certification means.
So TPI stands for Titleist. It's Titleist Performance Institute, and it's a program that you go through that helps you understand the connection between the golf swing and body motion, right? So, and also its limitations, right? If your body's limited in doing one thing, then it's definitely going to impact your swing. So, for example, if you have wrist mobility problems, you're going to have problems swinging the club. If you have hip mobility problems, you're going to have problems turning, right? If you have shoulder aches or shoulder problems where you're limited as far as mobility, you're going to have a hard time creating the proper plane. So and what TPI does is it helps you identify your limited range of motion and then helps you understand what the student's struggling against, right? So so you're not there guessing, gosh, why does he always throw the club over the top? And you realize, oh, well, the guy had he had surgery in his shoulder. And if you ask the right questions, you'll get the answer you know, from the student a lot of times. And you'll find that he has problems with his shoulders or he has some other problem. And so you work around that and you still create the swing, but you create in such a way that prevents injury.
Wow.
And that's the whole purpose of the TPI being TPI certified.
Right on. Yeah, getting into the roots of the problem that somebody doesn't even maybe realize is holding them back, you know, because sometimes you just can't see it or feel it yourself. Somebody else watching can see it. Somebody with an eye tuned like yours is. This is Oliver Olaquiano. He's Island Pacific Academy and top 50 U.S. Kids Master Kids coach. And 2024 PGA Junior League Game Changer Award winner and top teacher in the state for 2025-2026. Now, you've got all these wonderful instructors, and we're going to talk about Alex Cromer and Don Wilburn and Lou Merkel. I think we know Lou Merkel, right? And Alan Chung. But are adults welcome into the program?
Yes. I know I mentioned it before. We teach kids of all ages. I think I've got a really good staff of instructors, and feel really blessed to have all the coaches that are coaching and teaching with me. And we all kind of have that same philosophy of making golf easier for the students. And even though it's very challenging, but we all have that same mindset of helping others reach their goals. You know, so, and I think that's the important thing. It's like, we got to help them reach their goals. And I always thought, hey, if I help other people get what they want, I'll usually get what I want without having to make a whole lot of sacrifice.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So 4 to 94 are welcome.
Yes. 4 to 94.
You just mentioned a four-year-old in class, so I didn't want to cut people off at 84. You know, 94, 104, whatever.
Yeah. 104.
104.
Hey, as long as you're moving, you can swing.
That's right. So tell us a little bit about Alex Cromer, PGA.
Oh, Alex is, he's won several awards from the PGA. He's a really good teacher. I tell you, he's got a way with words, you know, for his students. He's very, I like him because he's very technical. He's very good with the TrackMan. He understands ball data. He really understands how what impacts the swing and how to help players increase their ball speed and just become a lot more accurate of a player. And I like him because he's a go-getter. I mean, he loves taking kids out on the course, and every so often I'll see him with like three or four people out on the course, and you know, whether they're adults or they're kids, they're really enjoying themselves, and I see nothing but smiles coming out of his students. So he's a great instructor.
KORL, Waianae, Honolulu. So then there's Don Wilburn, PGA.
Yes, Don. Oh, gosh. He's a 14-time long drive champion for... I have to be careful how I say this. He always corrects me. For the Aloha section, for the state of the Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
I think one time I said he was national. I think I told him he was 14-time national champion. He's like, no, that's wrong. But, man. I mean, I get the pleasure of playing with Don every so often. And we travel a lot together to a lot of these events. And most recently, I traveled with him to go to the drive chip putt competition at Hualalai. And, just an overall great character with a tremendous amount of knowledge for the game. And his love for the game extends to just what he really likes to focus on competitive players and making them better. So we talk about some of his students that are now, he taught here now in the mainland and are doing some incredible things, you know, so making a name for himself. And, you know, I say, hey, Don did it. Don's awesome.
Lou Merkel.
Oh, Lou. So I tell you, I had the pleasure of playing with Lou's daughter, Christina Merkel. And what a positive spirit she was when I got a chance to play with her. And I think this is at the time where I think Lou was still working at Lelehua Golf Course. He was the head pro at Lelehua at the time. And, I got a chance to meet with her and got to know Lou. Just because every time I stepped into that pro shop, I bought something from Lou. You know, he's a good salesperson. He's a good salesperson, but overall, it was just a great. He had a great personality, and you know, he at one point in time, he's like, "Hey, there's going to be a day, Oliver, that I'm going to retire, and I just want to teach, and I'd love to come teach with you." And
wow, cool.
That day came, and we got together, and I said, "I've got a spot for you. It's always there." And he came aboard, and I was happy. And you know, I love just sitting down with Lou and just asking him questions, and because he's a wealth of knowledge too. I think between Lou and Don, we got over 100 years of knowledge and experience.
And that doesn't count Alan Chung.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's another instructor. Yeah,
he's another instructor. And actually, his daughter, Leah Chung, is, if you look her up, she's one of the best players on the Boise team right now. She's making strides for herself. She scored one of the lowest scores in IUS Kids Golf Tour at, I think she was age 7 or 8. She shot a 27 in 9 holes. And O'Challen was her instructor and her dad, obviously. And I guess when she left for college, he called me up and said, "Dude, I'm bored. I want to teach." I'm like, "Hey, come." I mean, he has the knowledge, and he's got the know-how to make great players. So I said, come on board. Maybe you'll find another Leia out there. You never know.
Yes.
But he's really enjoying learning. And like I said, what's nice about our group is that we all have different experiences, and we're able to get together every quarter and just share ideas and best practices and make our team a lot better.
The driving range at Island Pacific Academy is open to the public until 9 p.m. with lights and music and entertainment, automated ball machine, new balls, and chic vibe. What is chic vibe? Like, we're really chic over here?
Chic. I guess, I don't know. I was trying to be more of a, chic. You know, cater to the newer new kids or this generation. But, I would have to say it's definitely got a kind of a chill vibe during the weekdays. But during the weekends, the music changes and it's a little more upbeat. I think we have one of the greatest facilities and nicest facilities on the island, with a great practice facility for chipping, putting, and bunker play at night. So you can do this at night.
That's
great.
You can
come over there and work on your bunker game.
I want to go.
You can work on your chipping.
I want to come and visit.
Yeah, come.
Where are you?
Where's Hawaii Prince.
Oh, Hawaii Prince. You're at Hawaii Prince.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go, folks.
Yeah.
You want to go. And then see, in addition to the driving range that's open until 9 p.m. with lights, music, entertainment, automated ball machine, new balls, and chic vibe, there's also the new par 3 integrated golf course, Experience Quick Shot Golf, a par 3 course perfect when you're short on time or just want a casual round without spending all day on the golf course, or you just want to practice because you haven't played in 10 years. Does that work?
Yeah. That's probably one of the best additions that Hawaii Prince has done lately, was the development of the par 3 course. Courses, because I think they've got the B and the C course ready. The A course is coming out pretty soon.
Wow.
But you have basically 27 holes of par 3 holes that you can play, and there are various yardages, all of which can be used for beginners. I take my kids out and we play our PGA Junior League at those yardages and at those new tee boxes that they have set up on the course. But if you're an advanced player, you can still utilize the short yardages as practice for your pro shots. So a lot of times you're coming in at 130 yards or 120 yards. I think the longest is maybe 205 or 114 or, no, sorry, 105 or 214. And, you get your practice in. But I like it for beginners. And whether you're an adult or you're a kid, going out there and really testing your challenge to get on the green and in one shot and then two putting is great. Or I make it a par 4 for the little ones. You know, for the little ones, I make it, hey, get in the fairway, get on the green in two, and then two putt.
Right on.
And they get a kick out of it.
Yeah. I get a kick out of just thinking about doing it. Oliver Olaquiano, President and CEO, Island Pacific Academy at Hawaii Prince. That's where you'll find him. That's where the academy is. All these things happening. You need to get out there. Kids and dads and kids and moms and whoever wants to go out, they'll love it. They'll love you even more because you're sharing something with them. Thank you so much, Oliver Olaquiano, for
Thank
being
you.
Inside the clubhouse with us. Thank you. Aloha.
Thanks, Danielle.
Mm-hmm. Michael Patrick Shields is coming back. He's my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider. And you know what? He's back. He's in Hollywood. He was. I shouldn't do that. You know, singing is not my forte. We'll be back with Michael Patrick Shields after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Right. It is Aloha Power's week-long steel sale. Yeah, Aloha Power's week-long steel sale. It's time to retire the big box tools, maybe? Yeah, steel is on sale, up to 25% off. Riding and walking mowers and chainsaws and whackers and trimmers and a whole lot more. We have service and we have parts and we have accessories for every rider. From home to commercial sized, mow it, blow it, bag it. Hey, and you're done, and you can do it so quickly, and you can save your back. Get what you need. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And here he is, Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider. His home base is Beverly Hills. He's a radio talk show host, author, travel writer, host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, award-winning syndicated talk show, rare bipartisan talk show. He's heard on 12 Michigan radio stations. He's known for the excellent books he's written with Larry King and Arthur Mills and Ben Wright and Donald Trump. And he writes for USA Today, Cigar Aficionado, Golf Magazine, and dozens of other media sites. I'm falling into Italiano because the Michael Patrick Shields is home from Venice, and he's home from London. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick Shields.
It was a fantastic night in Toronto yesterday. All of us here in Los Angeles saw that last out, that amazing double play that ended Toronto's hopes of ending the World Series last night. And it reminded me of one of the great baseball broadcasting calls of all time when Jack Buck, the play unfolded. Everybody saw it on television, and all he said was, "We'll see you tomorrow night."
What else was there to say, right?
Isn't that great?
Yes.
So tonight we have a tomorrow night, and it'll be in Toronto, but we'll be watching here at Happy Hour.
Happy Hour,
Los Angeles.
Yes, and you're in Hollywood. And Los Angeles is way too big. We want to Hollywood.
Yes.
And you're getting a lot of gigs acting in Hollywood, aren't you? Still.
Yeah, I just did 2 days at Warner Brothers this week on a show called The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, that was
pretty cool.
Yes.
And I have one this Friday where I'm going to play a rich Texan in a tuxedo. And Behemoth is the name of that show. It's like a Texas oil show. So, but these appearances are what I really live for on your program.
No, what you really live for is actually telling me all the different places so I can be jealous.
Well, when last we spoke,
yes.
I was standing to you in Venice, and the playground of Casanova, as we talked about at the time. And I know it's Halloween, but we'll kind of pretend it's Valentine's Day, because the next place I went when I left you in Venice there was Verona. And Verona, Italy, is the home of Romeo and Juliet, as you probably know.
Wow.
So ICBellagio.com suggested I take the train from Venice to Verona, which was very simple to do. And the good news is you can stay in these places across Italy and other parts of the world, at, like I did, at an NH Collection hotel. And NH Collection Palazzo Verona was right in the center of town, very near the train station. And they also have NH Collection hotels in Venice as well. But when I got there, I met the general manager, Chiara Zambianchi. And I asked her, I said, now, Verona, the home of Romeo and Juliet, and also the home of Dante Alighieri, who, as you know, wrote The Inferno. And I said, so, you know, which is the town more famous for? And she said, Romeo and Juliet. And I said, well, Dante wrote about, you know, the layers of hell,
uh-huh,
the book The Inferno. And Shakespeare wrote about love.
Uh-huh.
And I said, isn't love hell?
What was her reaction?
She said, sometimes.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, it wasn't easy for Romeo and Juliet, as we know in the story.
Yeah.
And the sad way that it ended. But it does make a lot of people happy, and it is a sort of a touristy thing to do. But you can go to Juliet's home. You can walk right there from the NH.
Wow.
Which I did. And you can get your photo on Juliet's balcony, and people just throng to this place, you know, to be in touch with romance and love. And there's a statue of her, Danielle, a life-size, in the courtyard below her balcony. And you're not going to believe it, but people go up to that statue and they touch her right breast.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh,
yeah. No, all ages, men, women, whatever, for luck with romance.
Oh.
And then I felt a little bit uncomfortable doing it, so I did it very quickly, and the crowd kind of laughed when it was my turn to do it. But I did it, so, you know, we'll see what happens. But there's also a little box, and this was portrayed in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was called Letters to Juliet. And if you write a little love letter and you put it in her mailbox, supposedly, you know, you're asking Juliet to make your romantic dreams come true.
Right.
And
some
people, they stick them to the wall and they put them in the mailbox. And so I wrote that I would very much, dear Juliet, like to meet Giorgia Meloni, the Italian prime minister.
Oh.
And a big crush on her. So I put it in the box. And if it happens, I'll let you know.
Oh, please do. I mean, even you should, you need to send her a little letter saying, you know, I'm on the road all the time and I'd love to meet with you and talk with you and what your country is, you know, what do you think of us? Maybe not that. No.
Only both, anywhere, anytime for Giorgia Meloni. And I know exactly what I'm going to say to her.
I didn't think you really needed my help. The NH Collection Hotels, is that for families, singles, couples? What?
Oh, you know what? The cool thing about these hotels is they are created in historic buildings of significance.
Oh.
So, for instance, if you go to Murano in Venice on the Glass Island, it's a former glass factory. It was a palace in Verona, as I mentioned, and it's right around the corner from the ancient Colosseum, where the Olympic closing ceremonies are going to be held in January, the Milan Cortina Olympics. And it's going to be like going back in time, because it's a Colosseum like you would imagine in Rome, a little bit smaller. But nevertheless, I then took the train to Milan, and that's where I stayed at the NH Collection City Life. And that is built in what was a big, beautiful church. And they retained some elements of the church so that you can feel like you're enjoying yourself. And this time maybe with a glass of Chianti in hand. But nevertheless, you still feel it. And Riccardo Bambacci is the general manager there. And he told me that hotel, the NH Milan City Life, is going to host all of the American broadcasters who will be covering the Olympics from a big studio building right across the street.
Oh.
So I got to say, I was the first American to broadcast from NH Collection City Life with an Olympic pregame show in October.
Will you really be going back in October for an Olympic pregame show?
No, I did it just this a couple weeks ago because the Olympics are this January.
Yeah,
I was the first American to broadcast from that hotel for the Olympics.
Wow.
If you want to look at it that way, which is just a silly thing. But if you went down into the, at the Domo, everybody does that in Milan, to the piazza there. There's a giant snow globe with a big countdown to the Olympics right next to the church, and everyone is very, very excited about it.
I love it. I mean, I'm just, you know, I can't keep up with you because now you're back in Hollywood, L.A., but and you're going to go back to Las Vegas for the Formula One race?
Yeah, in a few weeks, the Las Vegas Formula One Grand Prix. I know Hawaiians love Las Vegas.
Yes.
There's another reason to love it, and it's the third time they've had the strip. It will be closed as the race cars will be zooming on down there, and they have a couple of days of practice and then the big race. And so we'll be broadcasting from a hotel called The D, which is in downtown Las Vegas, which is also a very, very exciting area. And the F1 arcade we'll broadcast from and visit, which is in the Caesars Forum Shops, which has a balcony overlooking the strip, which means it's overlooking the track.
Wow.
And you can watch the cars, and then they have simulators set up. So you can see exactly what it's like to drive a Formula One car. And, of course, they'll have hospitality and drinks. And that's open all year round for anyone. If you can't get there for the race, you can go to these places, of course, any time of the year. But the D is very popular, and it's owned by the same people who own the landmark hotel of recent years downtown called Circa, which has the biggest sports betting arena you ever want to see and also a pool that's just like a beautiful arena. So these are people who remade downtown and made it popular again with the D and Circa, and we'll be there for the races.
That's fantastic. You know, when Juliet finds you your love, how are you going to squeeze her into all of this travel that you do and all these fabulous places? Maybe she wants to hang out at home.
In Milan, I went to the birthday party of Barbara Sangalli, who's the wife of the great designer Federico Sangalli, the fashion designer, and I wore a paisley tuxedo, and I looked around, and I said, I still don't belong among this very elegant crowd.
Yes.
But I gave it my best shot, and I'll just say, Danielle, to whoever it is, whether it's Giorgia Meloni or someone else, I'll say, tutti i passi che ho fatto nella mia vita mi hanno portato da te.
Will you kind of translate that for all of us out here in Radioland?
Can you handle it?
Yeah, we can handle it. We can take it. Shoot.
I said, every step of my life has led me to you.
Oh, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Are you sure? Because it was so small. Are you short in English and so long in Italian? You weren't leaving a little something out.
Even the steps I took through the rough, searching for my golf balls on courses all around the world. And in sandy waste bunkers and swamps.
Swamps. What a man. What a dude. When are you going to write your travelogue? I mean, you got to be, you've got more material.
I'm sitting at the terminal right now writing my next column for GoWorldTravel.com.
Awesome.
And you can read lots of it there. It's really good there. And also in the Lansing State Journal, LSJ.com is another spot. But GoWorldTravel.com is your best bet.
GoWorldTravel.com. Everybody.
Yeah, just put that in and Google my name and you'll find these exploits and hopefully some tips so that you can do some travel.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, well, real quick, how was the airline experience, the airplane? We're talking about all these delays and stuff. Did you just shoot right over because Juliet was on your side?
I had no problems, but pack your patience and realize that you're going to be sitting in a chair in the sky that can take you anywhere in the world. So, you know, sometimes you just have to endure a little bit.
Oh,
it's a
I like it.
When you think about it.
Yeah, you just got to go buy one of his books.
Yeah, that'll help pass the time. Yes. Travel Tattler.
Yes.
So what you can get at Amazon.com.
Yes.
Invite yourself to the party.
Yes. Right there. Thank you. Michael Patrick Shields for being inside the clubhouse with me. It's always so much fun. Thank you.
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bello. And thank you for your mana. And may you hit the sweet spot every time because we're just having so much fun. Don't forget, it's Aloha Power's week-long steel sale. It's time, maybe it's time, but maybe you just need to add something to it, something that's gone missing. You know, retire those big box tools or get something to make up for it. Somebody walked away with it. It happens. Steel's on sale. 25% off the riding, the walking mowers, the chainsaws, the whackers, the trimmers, and a whole lot more. Go to Aloha Power Equipment. My name is Danielle Tucker. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. Aloha.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.